I'm Brad.
I'm Justin.
I'm Michael.
Oh my gosh, Michael's back.
Michael's back. We are the Cinema Guys. Welcome to the show. We have Michael returning.
Hello, audience.
So good to hear you again.
Welcome back, Michael. See
you. Welcome back.
Squeeze you.
Welcome.
At least this week.
And we have Andrew with us.
Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
We got a foursome.
Oh, there's a foursome.
A cinelescent.
The foursome unleashed. What?
Oh. Bad dad joke.
Bad joke. As we said last week, we went to see Logan. So we will be talking about Logan this week. Giving some of our top Wolverine movies before this one. And talk about a trailer that was in front of Logan that we thought the movie was starting.
Everyone I know thought the movie was starting.
And it was not the movie. It was actually well done. So let's get into our flick picks.
Flick picks! We're doing top movies featuring not Hugh Jackman, but Wolverine himself post-Logan. Correct?
Post-Logan or pre-Logan?
Yes, no, all the ones that are coming
in the future. All these future movies?
Yeah, all the future ones.
I thought that's what we were doing, the future movies. That's,
so our hypothetical movies
are going
to
occur. I need to redo my list. It was going future movies. So then how the options are eight other movies, correct?
Eight or nine, depending, yeah.
No, we're not using
including
Logan.
Including the cameos? No. Okay, so
yeah. No Logan.
So, right.
We're not going to count Logan since we're going to do
that. Apparently it was his 10th outing as Wolverine, so you have up to nine other movies, although I couldn't name them all.
And there were some that were just cameos.
Right.
Like
all the marquee X-Men.
Well, mine's super easy.
First Class.
I go X-Men 2, X-Men 1, First Class. That's my order. X-Men 2 was one of my favorite superhero movies of all time. I loved it. I was excited. It's the first time you see Wolverine sink his claws into a person. And it was amazing. X-Men 1, I love because it was so, like, it was the beginning of a genre of superhero movie. Before that, it was just sort of spotty what they had or didn't have. So those two movies are always great for me. And then his cameo in First Class.
That was the best part of Apocalypse, and it was just a cameo.
Right. Other than that, I have not been, I guess this will come up later. This whole X-Men, all the movies have not been my favorite. I knew Logan was going to look good because the trailer looked cool, and I liked Logan a lot, which we'll get into, but I was not like overly excited to see Logan because none of these X-Men movies have done much for me.
Yeah, I think of the large ensemble superhero teams, you know, that are flying around right now. So Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers, I guess, would be the best examples in addition to X-Men. I feel like the casting for X-Men has been kind of the least on point or the least faithful to the
Patrick
comics.
Stewart is good.
I mean, Stewart's good. Jackman's good. But biggest problem with the X-Men series is they just missed the boat on what the X-Men are.
Right.
I mean, they're just a portrayals like, you know, Cyclops in the original two is portrayed horrible. I mean, they're going on the worst aspects of that character where he's just a whiny do-gooder. And
so you really knew what Wolverine hated about him other than,
Didn't we love Frasier as Beast?
That
actually, that wasn't a bad part.
I actually liked it.
Except for that movie's horrible, but but I mean, I would say Days of Future Past is the best Wolverine outing that I've seen. Yeah, I think that story's...
Yeah, but I hated that movie.
Days of Future Past.
Apocalypse, sorry. Days of Future Past was just okay.
Minor X2, aside from Logan, right? So
aside from Logan.
X2, Days of Future Past, and then maybe X1.
The X-Men, to me, are comic books, Marvel's, sorry, I don't want to lump DC in this, Marvel's Real World, MTV's Real World, kind of whiny, kind of like they're always angsty. Like, they can't ever really do any challenges because they always have, like, drama going on. Wow. Whereas, like, Guardians of the Galaxy and the Avengers are, like, road rules. Like, they're fun and exciting and always up to challenges. And they're real. And they go over to X-Men, like, hey, let's get together. And X-Men, like, oh, we're, you know, I love someone or not.
I mean, I will agree that, you know, Chris Claremont in the 80s did concentrate a lot on the relationship aspect of the X-Men and how they related to each other. But I mean, there's some great action arcs in X-Men. I mean, X-Men is probably my favorite team-based comic, with Spider-Man and Batman probably just ahead of it, but pretty much tied. I love the X-Men. I mean, there's countless story arcs that are just wonderful.
So is your perception of the X-Men derived from the movies, though?
No. It's derived from probably the old cartoon.
From the 90s, the one on Fox? That was a great cartoon.
I was a big DC guy, so I dabbled into X-Men a little bit, Spider-Man a ton. And so I was never into those. So I remember the Dark Phoenix saga and thinking that was cool, but
until they tried to do it in the movie and it was terrible.
Other than that, I was never a huge X-Men fan, but I was never a big Marvel fan. And one thing I will give you is I was never a team comic fan. So, because even though the Justice League certainly just exists in the DC world, I never followed any of the Justice League books or Justice League Europe or Justice League, any of them. I'm Batman, I'm Superman, I was reading individual books. I just don't like the team books. Maybe that's my problem with all of it.
So, X-Men, what I did like was that there was a lot of time spent on relationships. And so there actually was, for a comic, there was a ton of character-driven writing and development, and so the characters were really fleshed out, which I felt like was really atypical for comic books of the time, and probably did a lot to, I don't want to say like legitimize comics as a medium, but they, you know, those like Uncanny X-Men in the 80s definitely proved that the medium was capable of telling like a substantial character driven story.
And I mean, you really cared about the characters when they did pass away. I mean, like when Jean Grey dies, I mean, you spent decades with this person. There's, you know, especially with Chris Claremont coming on, he developed a, you know, this as a real person, and so they had that aspect, so it was actually profound. I mean, albeit it's comic books, so everyone comes back to life.
So speaking of character driven,
you never finished your third. You said X-Men 2.
Three. You know, I don't even know if I have.
And you said Days of Future Past.
That's about it.
X-Men 2 is made for me because of the battle between Wolverine and Lady Deathstrike, which was amazing.
Mine's X2, Days of Future Past, and The Wolverine.
I'll go with Wolverine for number 3.
I didn't hate this Wolverine Origins. I know everyone else in the world does.
Not Wolverine Origins.
I know. The Wolverine. I didn't hate that one.
The first like 15 minutes of Origins, Wolverine, X-Men, whatever, is not bad.
See, that's how I think about
when he's the lumberjack.
Yeah. So when he was Team awesome. X, and it goes through the whole sequence, the whole opening montage of him and
Sabretooth.
Him and Sabretooth, like, going through all the different wars.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. I mean, it's like, it's up until...
It shows
like,
Sabretooth scampering across no man's land, like, bounding 30 feet at a time. Yeah, that was great.
I liked the Wolverine's beginning, too. I liked the first half of it. I think it's the end that got cheesy.
My favorite scene in any movie is the beginning of X2 with Nightcrawler in the White House.
That is a sweet scene.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that was an odd Nightcrawler for me. The only Nightcrawler I knew was
And
the big thummy fingers. So that one was a new one for me.
It's not a bad portrayal of who he is.
Nightcrawler would be tough.
I thought he was better than the younger one that they did.
I mean, it's a hard character to really put out there because, I mean, he's pretty deep philosophically. I mean, he gets some very deep stuff. But he's not flashy. He's not... Yeah, he flashes.
Nightcrawler is actually very profoundly religious.
Yeah, he's very religious in the comics. Interesting.
So do we have our selections? Did you go?
Yeah. Looks like X2 all the way around.
Yeah, pretty much the same ones for everyone.
That's one of the better ones for sure. Probably X2 and Days of Future Past, I think everybody might have had in there. And I will say, if anybody that lives in Cincinnati wants to read about any of these books, see any of these movies, go to the Paper Street Trading Company on 4576 Montgomery Road.
Brand new store.
Go visit Jimmy and Carmen. They're awesome dudes. All right, let's move on to talk about a little something that was in front of Logan. We're going to say this is our trailer trash.
Trailer trash.
Boom. So I totally thought the movie was about to start, and I was like,
Deadpool
is in this movie? So the way that they do it is they do all the previews and then they stop and they do the welcome to the theater and they do the
You love that, man.
Which I love.
You are going to figure out that dance.
Nobody stop me when I get that. Anyways, and they do the popcorn flash, and then it's like, welcome to the theater.
And then it just starts, and there's music.
Yeah, and it starts, and there's no preview again, and you're like,
the movie's starting.
In this movie. Crazy. And you see Firefly posters, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Nathan then you see Summers Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Butt.
Right. Awesome. There is a hint, there was a hint funny. That it was not Logan because it had a marquee
of Logan
that
of
said Logan tonight, and I was like, "This is really."
And it has the poster for Logan
really,
in it too.
This is really postmodern.
Oh, see, I saw it, and I was thinking that like meta, yeah. It was a play on words that maybe Logan is okay. His play or something. I was like, "Oh, okay, it was two Logans." And then the whole time I was like, "Wow, this is weird." And then I realized it was a trailer once that beating the guy up scene went.
Hold on, I'll be right there.
So funny.
1 minute to like 5 minutes. I was like,
the Ben and Jerry's. That was funny.
I'd say if you haven't seen it, check out the teaser for Deadpool 2 coming soon, but not soon enough.
Deadpool 2.
And it's called Deadpool No Good Deed.
Because they put it online as like a little short
Deadpool
film.
With a Vengeance.
So enough of that.
Let's jump into Logan.
Logan.
Loosely based off of Old Man Logan. I have not read any of these books. I would,
I went back and
go
read
to the
Old
Marvel
Logan
guys here
this past week. I've read so much Wolverine this past
week.
Before we jump in, I'm just gonna flat out say spoiler alert. We'll probably end up saying something. If you haven't seen it, go see the movie, then come back.
So, yeah, they all die. Wolverine dies.
So there's no inbred. Hillbilly Hulk.
Wolverine
movie,
was buried alive at the end, actually.
They all. No, he was not. He's dead. Is the adamantium bullet a real thing from the comic books?
No.
That's made up for this.
They could make one.
I mean.
Would the adamantium bullet kill Wolverine?
Didn't figure significantly in it.
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
But it obviously
he's got
does
healing.
In this.
He's got
it penetrated
powers
into his brain.
Right, but it kills Wolverine, too.
I mean, in
X-24.
In the comics, Wolverine has literally been like reduced to a single cell and come back.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well, in this, apparently, an adamantium bullet will kill him. This is a couple of the holes the movie had was why all the mutants are dead. It's in the future. All the mutants are dead. Except for like a few who have survived.
There's a little bit of a Children of Men thing going on where no mutant has been born in 25 years.
Yes,
so a lot of them.
So I've heard that there is a legacy virus or something in the comic books that this could be, but they don't say why. That's one thing I think is weird because the movie, you keep wanting to know, okay, how do they all die?
Yeah.
You know, all the ones that we've been watching for the last 9 movies, how are they all dead? But they never really explain that at all. They all died. Wolverine's old, his healing factor is failing him, and because his healing factor is failing him, it's the adamantium inside of him that's killing him slowly. So he's going to die, and soon. Like, he's on his last
Yeah, he's very
leg.
Sick.
Right.
He's like, and what's cool is he's getting, you know, shot, and it's not healing till like, you know, a couple of days later or something, but
right.
He doesn't really do a lot of action, except every now and then his anger takes control, and he just can kind of slash out. But,
And it is very violent. Mode.
And it's very, very violent. Berserker lots of cursing. It was like
there's a whole berserker scene at the end that was awesome.
Yeah,
it stood up to John Wick 2. Like, I was like, there are as many headshots. Not quite. But it didn't flinch. It didn't look away.
Slamming.
I mean, in terms of inventiveness,
face headshots and blood everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
The best was the little girl was freaking awesome. The little girl's character.
Yeah.
And
X-23.
Daphne Keen.
The CG the CGI of her like fighting was like really, really well
Did
done.
She have the toe claw?
Yes.
She did.
She absolutely
did. When that thing came out.
And they explain it. Awesome.
And Professor X, like, conveniently, there's this little bit of exposition where it talks about, what was it? Like, it was an evolutionary adaptation because the female has to, like, defend. And so, I'm not
She's
sure
got
exactly
a toe claw.
How that ties into it. But the point is, she has a toe claw.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The only thing I thought, the movie was awesome. It was really good. The only things I thought were weird were these bad guys with their mechanical arms.
So those are the Reavers.
Okay.
And they were...
Are they guys that want to be mutants, and this is like the best way they can
do they're it? No, they're just cybernetically enhanced. Like,
okay.
Mercs, yeah.
They're like, they're anti-mutants.
Right.
But they'll enhance themselves to be better than humans, but they don't want to be mutants.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
They don't really explain that.
And Boyd Holbrook's character, the one with the cybernetic arm, is Pierce. And he's actually a central character.
The bad guy?
Throughout this.
And then the main doctor guy?
So in the So in the movie, it's Xander Rice, who is the son of the founder of the Weapon X program.
And Stryker?
No. This is where you start getting where you start getting into like the continuities in the movies.
And so then obviously in this movie, he's not that guy.
No.
Right.
So if you remember at the end of X-Men Apocalypse, where they're at Alkali Lake during that facility.
I try not to remember X-Men Apocalypse.
Okay. Well,
when they're at Alkali Lake, what happened?
So they got some DNA. I don't know if you remember.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So that is what the head dude at Alkali Transigen, which is the company that's creating all the clones, X-23. So they got some of Wolverine's DNA, and that's how X-23 comes about. So you're supposed to be able to... So it's in direct continuity with Apocalypse in the Fox.
I was trying to figure out where this kind of connections laid. Really. Because there was the mention back to the first and second X-Men.
So yeah, so this is in continuity with X-1, X-2, Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse. To the degree that I'm sure there are continuity errors in there galore, and anybody who wants to can poke holes at it, but it is what it is. But anyway, that's based on
what Fox has made, I'm not going to...
I mean, their whole franchise is just a mess. They just need to collapse that thing and start over.
I know they're working on a New Mutants movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to kind of reset it. But back to Logan.
Yeah.
Like, if we were redoing our list, this would be top of my list of a Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
Because this was more than just a comic book movie. There was a lot of heavy emotion through this entire movie.
Yeah, I have a hard time calling it a comic book movie because
it's so different. Logan, you know, wrestling with this, he's dying, and Professor X basically has Alzheimer's.
I don't want to build it up too much, but there's some crossover in terms of genre.
There's a huge element of, I was picking up the whole time, the idea of caring for the elderly. Wolverine having to always push him around and always... Because I kept thinking at any time now, okay, he's going to be Professor X again, but he's not. He's just an old dying man. And, I mean, you have glimpses of something, but not really. And Wolverine's always having to pick him up and take him and wheel him and move him. And like, he really was burdened by this elderly handicapped man.
Right.
And I, the whole time, was like, oh, this is, you know, something about ageism or something about caring for. I mean, there was all kinds of cool, really deep elements to it. And then even Wolverine and this child, like him dying.
And even, what's the character, Caliban?
Mm-hmm. Caliban. Mm-hmm.
Even throwing him in there, because he in Apocalypse was the bad guy, wasn't he? Like, used to kind of hunt the mutants, and now he's
right.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I don't know that character at all, and he I just kept thinking.
So he was used to track them.
They call him Caliban. Yeah. I think his name is.
And now he is used to.
He's kind of like the grumpy old man
trying to find them.
Stays at home with the. With the old guy, who I love.
So he did a pretty
out.
Good job with the comedic relief. No, I like the theme that you bring up. I mean, Professor Xavier, who is undisputedly the most powerful mind, like telepath, but now he's this frail old man who has really lost control entirely.
Yeah.
He's still lucid, but in order to prevent him from having these like devastating. Episodes, right? Seizures.
They can pretty much,
which is a pretty cool
anybody.
Effect, especially in that casino scene, where everybody's frozen, and that was so to see him kind of fall apart like that, but Wolverine, you know, to take care of him when Wolverine is really kind of just a, you know, a loner character, but then there he is as like the primary caregiver for Professor X.
Right.
I mean, it's a really interesting turn of events.
All he wants is to get money so they could go get a boat.
And go off and be alone, basically.
Yeah.
It's an earlier scene in history where Charles Xavier has this first episode of like the seizure, mm-hmm. and it's so massive that ends up killing majority of the X-Men around.
And that is part of it. That's referred to several times where there's an event at Westchester, which is where the school is. And he kills hundreds of mutants.
So he probably killed him, and Wolverine survived because of his antimantium can withstand.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of forced to take care of Xavier, not because he wants to, because he has to.
So the cool thing about Logan is that for somebody that's a fan of X-Men and all of the different, you know, just Wolverine, I guess, properties in the Marvel universe, is that like the script writers and whoever conceptualized Logan like knew the source material really well. Mm-hmm. So as a fan, while you can see that they yanked on a lot of different threads and they appropriated a lot of different things. So this definitely isn't Old Man Logan, and it mm-hmm. definitely isn't Death of Wolverine. There's a few things from each, but there's so much, and there's a ton of original stuff besides. But overall, there's a high amount of fidelity that's paid to Wolverine, and it's definitely...
It was definitely a great swan song for
Patrick Stewart, Hugh Jackman. Did it right. They really did.
And the paralleled story, as you know, we mentioned before, of Logan taking care of this old man, you know, Professor X, and kind of alone, and then it kind of flipped later after Professor X dies... that Logan is the beaten down old man, and then you have the kids come in and they're the young ones taking care of him.
Yeah.
And then it kind of reverses.
I kept waiting for him to be like good again. Cause you didn't know until the end why he was sick. You didn't know that it was the adamantium that was killing him. You just knew something inside of him, and you got the,
which is one of the inventions of the movie that didn't happen. And
you almost got the idea that he knew what was killing him and he could have removed it, but he wanted to die. But then I kept thinking, like, all right, right at the end, he's going to be like, yeah, and reach in his body and pull out the virus or something. And then, or the mechanical machine, whatever is killing him. Yeah. And then he's bad again. He's awesome. And I was like, and it actually reminded me a little bit of the third Batman movie with the Christopher Nolan. Okay.
Yeah.
Where
after he breaks his back,
he's like, he's not full on Batman, and it's really hard for me to, which I think is probably something about my own self. Like, it's hard for me to watch a hero not being a hero, not at its full
potential. Oh, yeah.
It's really hard. I love the movie, but the whole time I was like,
well, he did become the hero again at the end.
I mean, he was the hero, but he wasn't like,
but he had to like full on juice up.
He had to juice up, like, basically. But when he juiced up and went all berserker, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was.
So this is like the Unforgiven of the Wolverine.
Actually, that's interesting you mentioned that, because
I've heard it called.
But the difference takes inspiration from it. Never got to see Clint Eastwood being awesome. So what we see of him is all we know. Whereas this, we've seen in Batman.
Or did
seen.
We? But you definitely see a hint of his awesome at the end.
I mean, we've seen the good
William
Batman,
Money. Is that his name? We have not seen William Money at full force.
The man with no name has no name. It could very well be
William Money.
The parting shot ending was, I thought, phenomenal. With the grave, and then they tip it over to be an axe.
Oh, yeah, they put a grave with a cross, and the girl went back and made it.
And then the stone moves, and you're like, oh, no, he's alive.
I swear.
Go back and watch it again.
And then suddenly dirt starts floating, which makes no sense.
Stanley would not be happy. You are not true believers.
You're not true believers. Excelsior!
Excelsior.
Flies off.
So, but the theme of Logan, family
Logan
was really
is
powerful.
Gone. You need to come to terms. He's gone.
No.
There were no rocks moving.
No.
But this is just an alternative
he's
reality.
He's reverted
so he can
to
come
a
back.
Wolverine. He is scampering about somewhere in Alberta right now.
That's he'll come back with plastic surgery as somebody else. Be like, yeah, you're not Wolverine. Oh, I had to get plastic surgery. So nobody knew who I was.
Don't worry. Russell Crowe will bring him back as Cable from the future.
So what do you think that does this herald anything positive? I mean, it's too soon to tell, of course, but what are your thoughts on this? This really does kind of lay down a certain type of gauntlet or set a certain precedent and a hurdle.
Now. That's what I think.
I mean, I think the biggest thing
I
is
think you, they we, have the end of a story.
No, but not for Wolverine, new, but no. for Fox if this does general. Have some like some crossover type, not appeal, but if it's bigger than a superhero movie,
I'd follow that girl. Like if I'd follow her story arc. Again, another movie. She was so compelling, I thought.
I think the biggest thing that we've seen here is we've now had Fox put out two superhero movies that were medium budget, rated R, that have been very well received.
And I'm serious. Huge don't financial don't forget, successes, like right yeah. now, Legion that they're doing is just as good as both those two movies. Good Legion plug. Is amazing.
Yeah,
like that, they're doing three. They've done three things that have just.
And they're
like
all on the darker
the
side.
All, yeah, Legion is not for children.
And I think that can go two ways. I mean, dark isn't always better.
Not always, but if it's done right. Like, yeah. The way Logan is done.
I wouldn't say Deadpool is dark.
Deadpool's nice.
And not, well, to get not to get political, but the exit polling from Logan, it was like 96% wanted to see an R-rated version of a superhero. Like 98% wanted to see. I mean, it was like it hit all of the right buttons for people.
Oh yeah.
It was like a very refreshing change.
I think Deadpool helped bring that about. If Deadpool wouldn't have been a successful R-rated comic book movie,
right?
I mean, we probably would have had a PG-13 Logan.
Yeah, I mean, it's been stated that Logan would not have been R if it wasn't for the success of Deadpool.
So probably more adult themes, it shows that a superhero film, if you want to call it that, can support and carry kind of more adult themes, or there's an audience for that.
Logan, I told Justin later, you strip all that superhero mutant comic book stuff out of this movie, it's still a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, if they just had guns and were chasing each other, yeah, it's still just as good. Yeah, that's why I feel like, because I think we were with a friend, Nick, and he was like, best superhero movie ever. I was like, I just don't even, because I wouldn't even put this against like Guardians of the Galaxy, because it's like two totally different movies trying to do totally different things. And
it doesn't seem like it's a superhero movie. I mean, there's no like heroics going on. It's much more of a, you know, not like a lone wolf and cub story where it's just like, you know, this man against everything else and trying to get through the
day. More superhero than like Donnie Darko.
Well, it knows what it is. Like Guardians of the Galaxy couldn't pull off a lot of these themes, and it wouldn't. I mean, that's absurd. It wouldn't even try. Right.
No, exactly. Rocket Raccoon is dying. He's so old now.
Just as Wolverine, I am Groot. Like, wouldn't attempt to be just all, you know, funny and lighthearted and kind of almost slapstick the way a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy is. So.
If you would have made, you know, Logan like a Batman and Robin goofy movie, people would have.
Which is, I think, was the problem with the first X-Men. I mean, while it was good and it had the merits that you kind of talked about, it was very antiseptic kind of.
Well, Singer won the. I mean, he's gone on record saying he had his own message, which, I mean, he's publicly come out as gay now, and that's very much a metaphor for the gay community.
What? I didn't know that. X-Men 1 was?
Oh, that's all he's always been his point. X-Men is, you know, they're this separate entity.
Well, that's something like the xenophobia, mutant registration, all of that is something to date that hasn't been.
Oh, well, and like the dude's son ended up being like a mutant, and he was, oh man, it's all coming clear to me.
It all makes sense
now. You know, I'm really not good at taking movies outside of what they are. So, that's good.
X-Men at its best has always been about, you know, social change. Right.
So bring it back to Logan, as we strayed once again back to comics.
Well, it's
recommend seeing it. I would highly recommend seeing this movie.
It's
like,
good.
Go out.
I have met one couple that didn't love it, but
if you have kids and you're like, oh, they like the other Wolverines, do not take them.
Even if you're like, well, my kids are really well-rounded and they're mature for their age.
It's not even that. I can see sister-in-law being like, well, my kids liked all the other movies, and not even looking that it's rated R, going in there and being appalled.
And it's a hard R with some of that violence.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's not for my kids.
That caveat aside, I would definitely recommend going to see it. Absolutely.
Right. Well, I'll go see it then.
Hey, Michael, you should go see it.
I'm glad we had this time for you guys to convince me to go see this movie.
We brought Michael back. He has our comic.
Hey. For a moment, you were kind of waffling, relief. I could
Wolverine may not die at the end. It was a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke.
I don't care. Spoilers don't bother me.
Might not die.
Are there any quick recommendations you want? You don't get 10 recommendations this week, Justin.
By the way, I'm sorry.
You get one.
My recommendations last week were the best recommendations.
Your recommendations
ever
are limited to three.
Three.
No.
Three new ones.
One.
Three new ones?
Give him one.
I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I saw.
I don't feel at home in this world anymore either. But that's a whole other story.
It's a Netflix original movie. Elijah Wood is in it. The same guy who directed Green Room.
Is it the director or writer?
Sorry.
You said writer.
Yes, writer. Really fun. Horrible choice of words. Not fun. Really good watch, because it's a very like sort of sad, depressing, kind of crazy movie.
Is it Manchester by the Sea depressing?
That's good.
God, that was depressing.
I love it. It's not Manchester depressing.
I read somewhere that it was described as only slightly more uplifting than
Schindler's List.
2 hours of dogs being hit by cars footage.
Oh, that would be kind of funny, actually. Which of course enticed me.
I almost like, left right then and went to the matinee. But.
It's probably a lot. I would imagine Dogs Getting Hit by Cars is nowhere near as sad as Manchester.
But you, Michael, returning after a hiatus, is there anything you would recommend? Anything you've watched?
Or anything that you saw? Did you watch like Barbarella over and over again?
Besides, besides Japanese bicycle movies?
I mean, the last...
Did you watch a lot of Pootie Tang?
That's no, the Last Dragon.
Do you know who wrote that movie?
Chris Rock?
No. Louis C.K.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Dude, comedic. He wrote that.
Wow. He directed it too, I believe.
Pootie Tang.
Oh, now I have to go back and revisit Pootie Tang.
Yeah.
Briefly.
I mean, the last movie I watched was Prometheus.
The Last Dragon.
Oh. Hey, I recently watched that too.
I recently watched 45 minutes of it. Your recommendation is Crashing, because that was going to be one of mine, and I wasn't going to let you do it.
Okay. Then I will recommend the new HBO show, Crashing.
Pete Holmes.
Starring
Lauren Lapkus.
The autobiography of Pete Holmes.
You can see Lauren Lapkus' boob if you want to.
Who's that?
Pete Holmes is a comedian.
Is it a sequel to Crash?
No, it is his true story. He is a comedian whose wife left him. He used to be a youth pastor.
Yeah, so the guy is at the start of the show, he's an aspiring comic, so he's going through open mics. His wife is a teacher. She supports him. He has no job. He just does open mics. They got married right out of Christian college.
So like Breaking Bad?
No.
Right out of Christian college, it's funny because it's totally true.
Like, yeah, they make jokes about how you have to be engaged by spring semester, and
nothing but coffee.
And so he's doing this. He's not engaged in the marriage. Like he's not involved with it. He thinks everything's fine. He's basically not putting any effort in anything anymore, and finds out that comes home and his wife's sleeping with another man. And then it's a story of how...
he's emotionally unavailable.
Well, knowing his backstory, it makes sense. Because, I mean, basically he's like...
Justin will tell you,
that's how many marriages at Christian colleges end up.
Well, his thought was, you know, once he got married, it was done. He didn't have to try anymore. You know, he won, you know. And so in the first episode, you know, there's a scene where his wife is like, let's have sex on the floor.
So it's like Californication.
I've never seen Californication, so I can't comment.
I'm just trying to spice it up.
I can't.
Yeah. Like, she's trying to spice up their marriage, and she's saying stuff to him, and he's like, no, why would I do that? Why, it gets a little sexual, but it's basically like he doesn't want to try anything, and clearly she's crying out for help, and that's why she's cheating on him. But it's the way he propels himself into becoming a stand-up. Right. And
it's basically his life is crashing, his marriage is crashing, his career is sort of crashing.
And now he's crashing
on people's couches to live. So it's really funny, though.
That's pretty good. Yeah, it's funny, sad, but it's good.
So it sounds like Mulholland Drive, then.
Yes, exactly.
Anything you would recommend?
But that is coming.
Andrew?
Speaking of Mulholland Drive, we're only a month and a half away from new episodes of Twin Peaks on Showtime.
Oh.
I don't have Showtime.
So who wants to watch Twin Peaks with me and
I'll
get ready
that.
For it?
Invite me over. Make kettle corn.
What's your recommendations?
And Bartles and James wine coolers, please.
And also in April.
Michael's not finished.
Is the start of the new episodes of Mystery Science
Theater 3000. There's a lot to catch up on.
He's been away for a while.
Two of my favorite shows are coming back in April. Two of my favorite shows of all time. So. Twin Peaks and Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Do you think MSTK 3 will be good?
Yes. Everyone involved is either from the original show or amazing, hilarious.
For those who aren't familiar with it, so I am currently in the fourth season of The Americans. Michael, are you familiar with that?
I'm not, but it's always one of those shows everyone's like, you have to watch.
It is on Amazon Prime, and it is excellent.
My wife is really into that show.
It's fantastic. Early 80s, Cold War era, Soviet, you know, spies.
It's got Felicity in it.
Deep cover, yep. Carrie...
Russell.
Felicity Russell. Thank you. That's her. And anyway, yeah, just amazing performances all around. A very like riveting... I think it's on FX, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So really well produced.
Yeah. I think you can watch all of it on FX now, right now, if you want.
Okay.
New season.
It's all on,
something. Prior seasons are on Amazon Prime.
And I watched ARC, A-R-Q, which is I think it's a Netflix. Is it a Netflix original?
I think
it's science fiction.
I have it on my to watch list.
So it's kind of lighter, you know, sci-fi fare. I mean,
is it British?
Super. It is not. Although
it looks like it would be.
Australian actresses are in it. So, but anyway,
that must be even
worse
for him. A lot
of good things coming out of Australia these days.
Well, I'm going to, since we had quite a long discussion this evening, I'm recommending the 90s X-Men cartoon.
Which actually has a ongoing comic series based in the 90s comic animated version.
I did not know that.
The first cartoon ever that if you missed one episode, you were lost.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It had the ongoing arc, and I never missed an episode.
I loved it, and I remember missing like two Saturdays and being like, what's going on?
It used to be on Netflix. I don't know if it still is.
It's not.
Because I was watching it for a while. No, if you can find it, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you can find it for super cheap on Amazon.
Yeah. Someone has it. They have it.
Well worth
it. It's good.
Yes.
So next week, we're going to see a big movie.
Look at that. It bleeds. We did that. Kong was just defending his territory.
We're going to bring that ape down. We're going to save Kong.
Show that man is king.
Kong Skull Island will be our review next week.
Say it again. Say it one more time.
I've had enough of these mother effing monkeys on this mother effing island.
I'm looking forward to just a fun movie. And I have heard there are a few cameos in this movie and to stay till the end of the credits.
Is it Ultraman?
Ultraman, yes.
Spectre Man?
I don't know.
Is it
Gamera?
Loki?
Is it Gamera?
Pacific Rim is going to come in. And
is it a Godzilla?
I don't know. I honestly know.
Is it Christian Grey?
I don't.
You know the next movie is King Kong versus Godzilla.
I don't get into the spoilers like you. I try to.
What about Rodan?
Is the King Kong versus Godzilla this Godzilla? I mean, this King Kong? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're both owned by Legendary Pictures.
Yeah. So stay tuned next week. As we will review
Godzilla!
Kong Skull Island.
Godzilla!
Mothra!
Rodan!
As always.
King Ghidorah!
Ghidorah!
Thanks for listening. Welcome back, Michael.
Gamera!
Welcome back, Michael.
Friend to all Can't boys and girls.
There's a dragon here. Oh, man, now it's an Abe.
Hopefully sometime we will see you at the movies.